to the chief musician, Psalm of David, Psalms chapter 11, verse number 1. In the Lord put I my trust, how say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart, if the foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible tempests. Thou shalt be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. My focus tonight is the third verse of that chapter, and it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I could not help but think when I read this and started studying it, to think about our situation in our present world, and then I remembered the circumstance and situation that Nehemiah went through. We've all heard and read the story of Nehemiah several times, and we've experienced in the last several months of how devastating laws have been passed against the church, against people themselves, specifically if it has anything to do with religion. It seems like that we're going backwards at a breakneck speed. And things were pretty much like that in Nehemiah's day. And as I look at this and analyze this, I don't know if you catch it like this, but it seems like to me that our foundations are being destroyed. Those things that we once stood firm and strong for is deteriorating so fast before our eyes. And I challenge you to pull up and put the landmarks back where they once were. The Bible talks of how devastating it is to remove the landmarks. And it's no secret that our landmarks have been removed drastically. And the sad part about it is the church has said, I lay by and let it happen. So I challenge you here tonight that as David asks the question, these things, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we see our foundations being destroyed. In Nehemiah's day, he was distressed at the news of the desolation of the conditions of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah went to the king, and we know he was the cupbearer for the king, but he went to the king, Artaxias, and he asked permission to journey to Israel to help rebuild and the ruins that was there and to restructure things. So approximately in 444 B.C., Nehemiah journeyed to Jerusalem, and he roused the people there to necessitate and repopulate the city and rebuild its walls, which was in ruins. If you go through the story, you'll find that when he took some of his men and quietly at night, he went through and he evaluated the city, and it was in rubbles. It was in a terrible shape. The armies had riddled the land and tore down the walls, and Nehemiah had quite a challenge in front of him. How many knows that we've got a challenge in front of us? But how many knows there ain't nothing too big for God?
That's right.
Nehemiah had about 2.5 miles of walls to build. They was approximately 39 feet high, and they was approximately 8 feet thick. If he went directly by the instructions of the old wall, he had quite a task to perform. The walls of Jerusalem was broken down. The gates was burned with fire. I don't know about you, but it seems to me that that's exactly what they're trying to do with anything that has to do with Jesus Christ. They're trying to break down our barriers. They're trying to break down our walls. They're burning our gates. And they are absolutely trying their best to destroy the foundations that we have stood for so long. I understand and realize that some of you are not quite as old as I am, and you haven't seen some of the things that I've seen. Some of you are a little older than I am, and you've seen a lot more things than I have. But I want you to know I have seen the power of God move in people's hearts and lives. I know what it is for the unbeliever to accept Jesus Christ and be baptized with the Holy Ghost, coming up from the altar, not having a clue what was going on, speaking in an unknown tongue, in a heavenly language, out of this world. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be touched by the Holy Spirit, to where you wasn't sure if he was here, there, or yonder. I know what it's like for the anointing of the preaching of the Word of God to touch hearts and lives, and the sinner weep the pew and get back to the things of God. I know what it's like to see and sense and experience the power and the move of God. But church, it seems like to me that we're in a place today that we're really not interested in seeing the move of God anymore. But I'm here to tell you it's more important today, in the hour that we're living in, than ever before. And I challenge some people to get the hope of God and say, God, one more time, give me the tenacity of Nehemiah. Let me rebuild the wall. Hey, if I have to hold a trowel in one hand and a sword with the other, God, help me. Help me to rebuild the wall and reestablish the foundations. I don't know if you are or not, but I am concerned of the circumstances and situation that we're in. I am not satisfied with coming to church, singing a few songs, hearing the preacher preach, and going home. I need God in our midst. I need a revival spirit. We pray for revival. We ask God to send revival, but I'm here to tell you revival's here. It's up to us to get it. We've got to get revival in our heart and our soul, and the only way that we're going to do that is on our knees in prayer and in the Word of God and saying, God, it's not my brother nor my sister that's in the need of prayer, but God, it's me that needs a reviving. It's me that needs a stirring. God, it's me that needs to get a hold of the horns of the altar. It's God who needs to go to the rock and get a hold of God and say, I'm not turning you loose. I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. I'm not going to let you go till the power of God is so real in this place that you can see the Shekinah glory of God. Hey, church, we may be living in 2021, but the God that I serve is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But somebody's got to be a foundation builder. Somebody's got to be a foundation builder. Walls of Jerusalem was broken down. Gates was burned with fire. As I mentioned a while ago, somebody's got to have the tenacity of Nehemiah, getting his spirit and determination to restore what was destroyed in his time. I believe that there's got to be some Jeremiah's in our time that are going to have to get the spirit and the power of God in their life, the determination, and again the tenacity to restore what has been destroyed in our hour, in the time that we're living in. We have seen many, many things. The rugs, spiritual rugs, ripped out from underneath us and left us sitting bewildered of what's going on. But oh, church, today, somebody get a hold of God and say, I'm not going to turn loose. I'm not going to give up. God, will you restore? Will you restore? Will you restore what has been ripped from us and give us the foundations of once that the power of God moved in our hearts and our lives? Can I tell you, even with the adversity, Nehemiah was determined. I said, even with the adversity, he was determined. I preached to you last Sunday that things could get messier before they get better. Oh, my. I don't know how to tell you this, but I've experienced it. Let me tell you today, I still believe God. I still believe what I preached to you last week. And even though things get messier, I stand upon the Word of God and I am determined. I said, I am determined to see
you the foundation rebuilt again. I got some good news for you, though. It's not your job to rebuild the whole wall. Never seen this before as I was reading over Nehemiah again. Sometimes I think we have the idea that we've got to build the whole wall back. We've got to get everything reestablished. We've got to build the foundation. But as I looked into Nehemiah, each person or each group as a part of their city were set to rebuild the portion of the wall that was assigned to them. Will you join with me today and help rebuild the part of the wall that God has given us the responsibility for in Siloam Springs, Arkansas? Hey, church, listen to me. It's not your responsibility to build it all, but God has given us a portion right here among us that we've got to redeem the footing. We've got to rebuild the wall. We've got to get it wide. We've got to get it tall. We've got to get our portion done. It's our responsibility to do our part and our portion. Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, let's get busy doing our portion. You're not amening as good as I'm preaching. You didn't even amen that, so I'm going to go ahead and preach some more. You see, the point is we got to do our part. We got to stand our ground. We got to defend our portion of property. Amen. And our rights.
Right.
And more than anything else, we got to start what God's finished within sight of us.
Amen.
I said, we've got to finish and allow God to finish what He has started within sight of us. Wouldn't it be sad if it was the reverse? In First Samuel chapter 18, the woman had mentioned that Saul had slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Wouldn't it be terrible in kind of where we are today? David has slain his 10,000s, and we've killed our 3 or 4. You didn't get that when I'm going. I'm just here to tell you we're going backwards and not forwards. And if you don't understand that, I'll put it in Arkansas and Oklahoma language. We can't go backwards. We got to go forwards.
Amen.
God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But it's our responsibility to reestablish the foundations that are destroyed. Hello? There's a lot of things that's happening and people struggling in our world today. But I want you to know that there's a payday coming, and in that payday we're going to be absent from the body, but we'll be present with the Lord. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear death. Let me tell you, if we are not going in the rapture, we're going to go by the way of the grave one way or another. But to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. 1 John 1:9 said, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Listen, I'm telling you, church, we've got to rebuild the foundations. We are in a society in the world today that people think that it's terrible for God to be jealous of His people. We're living in a society in the world today that where people think that there's 1,000 ways to get to God. But I'm here to tell you there's only one way, and His name is Jesus Christ. It's the only way to get to God. And when we are tearing up and destroying the foundations, when we allow anything to be preached other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything, I even mentioned that this morning, that He hears, and we know He hears, that we have a petition that we have of Him. Our word, God's word, not ours, but God's word must be stabilized in our hearts and in our lives. David said, I was once young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I'm here to tell you today, people come into our church house and they desperately need something from God. They don't need a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk. They need something from God. And David said, I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen God forsaken what He has spoken. But if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? How should we respond when the foundations are crumbling right
in front of us. When the enemy is out to destroy every foundation of our country in which it was established on, can I tell you today, church, in short, we must turn to God and call out to Him with all that is within us. It's time to quit playing tiddlywinks, but it's time to get serious with God. It's time to quit playing checkers. It's time to get on our knees before God. If you're playing checkers, I'm not talking about that. Can I tell you, we can't run or we can't cower down to the devil's tactics. We must be brave. When the enemy come against Nehemiah and they was complaining, griping, they said, hey, you build this wall, a fox can come through and tear it down. And they was saying, you can't do this, you can't do that. Nehemiah said, God sent me here. I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to accomplish it. And regardless of his adversities, he did not cower down to his enemies and he did not run. Can I tell you, God responded to Nehemiah and God will respond to your prayers.
Amen.
Just as the Lord heard Nehemiah, put a protection around about him, so will God hear your prayers and put a divine protection around you. Can I tell you, building the foundations that our society and our world is destroying, God is available to hear your prayer and hear your cry. God does not see us and know our circumstances and turn a blind eye. He is very much aware of where you and I are at today. Only thing He's doing is waiting for us to respond. Let me reiterate that as I slow down just a little bit. Nehemiah could have went to his quarters, Brother Steve, and said, God, you see the circumstances at Jerusalem, you build the wall back. But instead, the burden hit him, and he went to the king and said, I can't stand what's happening to my town and my city. I can't handle what's going on in my town and in my city. I've got to go. I've got to go. I've got to go. His countenance was sad. The king said to him, hey, why, you ain't never come to me like this before. What's up with it now? And it was dangerous back in those times to come to the king all down in the mully grubs. But he had a burden upon his heart. And he told the king his heart. And the king said, hey, go. You know why? Because God had ordained him to rebuild the wall. Can I just tell you, God has ordained you to reestablish and build your part of the foundation, rebuild that part of the foundation? What attitude should God's people have in all of this? Number one, we must trust in God. Number two, we must ask God for cleansing and take a personal inventory of what's happening inside of us. That's tough, man. That's tough. If anybody's spiritual, we are. Hello? If anybody's spiritual, we are. We got it going. But we must trust in the Lord. We must ask God to cleanse us, taking a personal inventory of our lives, what's inside of us. We must be willing to take a stand and to be an encourager and stabilizer in times of deteriorating the foundation that is around us. I got to say that again. I said, I got to say that again. It seems like that we can't hardly stay prayed through from one service to the next. But it's imperative as a child of God, seeing what's happened around about us, seeing the deteriorating foundations, we must be willing to take a stand and be an encourager. How many wants to be an encourager? How many wants to be encouraged? If you want to be encouraged, to be an encourager. I'm telling you, in these deteriorating times, we need somebody that'll be a stabilizer. Say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, you can make it. God is with you. The power of God is with you. We need some stabilizers here in this church. Number four, we need to pray and seek God for revival again. But that revival spirit has to start inside of us. We can't be humdrum and twiddling our thumbs and say, well, let somebody else do it. Revival has got to start in us. Right. Can you imagine what kind of service we'd have if everybody go home tonight and all the rest of this week you'd be praying, God, send us a revival, let it start in me, and we get a revival spirit in our heart and our soul, and the power of God begin to move, and the Holy Ghost begin to stir us up and come back next Sunday or even Wednesday night, and the power of God move in this place, and then be people be looking from the highway wanting to come in and get something of what you got. We got to pray revival. God, start here. Our response, church, must be when the foundations begin to crumble, as they have, with a personal, our personal foundations can crumble as well. Whether it be personal or whether it be nationally, we must turn to God with all of our hearts. We must confess our sins and our shortcomings and repent for our sins and for the sins of our nation and begin to plead for God's mercy where we're at. We see clearly that in recent years and months, we have seen our society, our government, and the church abandon its former foundations. Folks, we've got to get committed and intercede for our nation and ask God to revive His church. But we've got to be a participant in rebuilding those foundations. And we've got to be a participant in creating an atmosphere for God to start something inside of us.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but we need somebody to stand up and say, I'll be a Peter and allow God to build a church upon the rock Jesus Christ and through Him where the gates of hell will not prevail. We need to be a Peter and a Paul that the gates of hell cannot prevail and that God gives us the keys of the kingdom. Listen, Nehemiah was given specific privileges, that he was given money and he was given supplies, something like the kingdom, to go back down to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. God has given you the power and given you the keys to rebuild and restructure the foundations that have been destroyed. And he said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm here to tell you today that we are living in critical times, but there's nobody that deals with critical things more than God. He's faithful. I said He's faithful. We need to take some responsibility. We need some Matthew, some Marks, and Luke, and John that'll stand up and say, God, here am I. Here am I. Give me the strength, give me the tools, and help me to rebuild my portion of the wall. Heavenly Father, I love You. I appreciate You. I thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your love. I thank You for Your word. Lord, help us, oh God, not to sit idly by and see the deterioration to continue. Help us, oh God, to get a burden upon our heart. Lord, if we don't get a burden on our heart, God, our generation that's come behind us doesn't have a chance. God, we've got to have Your spirit, Your power, and Your anointing. In Jesus' name.